Previously on Little House on the Prairie.
Your paw smells like a dumb old horse.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, May 11th. I'm J.E. Skeets, along with my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Hey, yo.
The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Last but not least, making the magic happen is JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Please like, comment, and subscribe. Trying to get our followers up. Email us your questions and comments for tomorrow's Beach Devin podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in. At No Dunks Inc. Hell, leave them in the YouTube comments for all I care. That'd be nice. And finally, grab your sweet No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. It took all of 10 minutes, Lee, for our limited edition wedgie shirts to sell out yesterday. Yeah. They went live on the nodunks.com website at noon, and they were gone by 12:10, sold out. In fact, we were originally planning on selling 50 of them, but there were so many people hitting up the site at around 12 o'clock that we ended up selling 199 before we called it on the limited edition run. So,
what, we didn't just make 200? We just decided 199.
Well, again, it was supposed to be 50. I think we caught Breaking T by surprise. They didn't think they were going to go that fast. But incredible work by all of you. Thank you so much for grabbing one. We've talked about that maybe if we set the record here. I say maybe because I don't want to get out of ourselves. But if we set the all-time wedgie record, Trey, then we could do another like color release or something like that.
Yeah, or maybe we finally come out with that thong we've been talking about.
Ooh, that'd be real.
A 56-pack of thongs. Oof. Could be delicious.
Yeah, unfortunately, no wedgies stuck there on Wedgie Day, May 10th, last night with the six games on. Though, if you're just a podcast listener, again, highly recommend you check out No Dunks on YouTube. Because JD did post a certified classic, and that was the very weird music video or infomercial or whatever the hell you want to call it that we did with Shaq back in the day trying to inspire the idea of getting to 50 wedges. I really did forget, first off, how incredible the production is on that very weird little video we did with Shaq, but just the song and what we were doing in it. And, like, there's a lot of me giving Shaq a wedgie and... Shaq, like, smacking Trey in the butt with underwear. It is very strange, but certified classic. It's a banger. So go check that out.
I'll never forget Shaq leaving our studio after we had recorded that.
Yeah, that's going viral. That one's going to go viral.
Yeah, there's people in the comments I saw the video say, like, how much money did you guys have to throw at you? I'm like, no, we just asked him if he wanted to come in the studio and sing about wedgies, and he was in. So, yeah. Anyway, go check that out. Okay, guys. So, again, six games on last night. Got some up-down fun, but with the games and the stories from yesterday, we're going to play a little fill-in-the-blank because it's been a hot minute since we've done this. And the first one, everybody knows the news by now, Russell Westbrook is the new triple-double king. He broke Oscar Robertson's record for all-time triple-doubles, picked up his 182nd last night versus the Hawks in a loss. Had a chance to win it at the buzzer. But, Lee, get us started here with this fill-in-the-blank. It's pretty simple. Westbrook breaking Big O's all-time triple-double record is blank.
Historic and deserves to be recognized and celebrated and applauded. I think it's a fantastic achievement from a guy who, you know, for most of his career was a one-team guy, you know, a star player, an all-star, all-NBA player in OKC. He moves on to Houston and we think, maybe this guy's kind of washed up. He ends up having a decent season there. Things don't work out in the playoffs. Then he's basically just traded in a sort of like, sure, let's just make this trade. You go into a team that's not got a great history in terms of making the playoffs, certainly not recently. He goes to Washington. Same sort of thing. He's considered like, well, this guy's now beginning the journeyman stage of his career. And he's only in there because basically his contract matched John Wall's. And instead, he's come along and after a very slow start, not only has he just gone on this incredible run of triple doubles, but he's got his team into the play-in tournament, playing fantastic basketball, and, you know, probably the favorite to get out of that, or to make the playoffs right now, even though they lose that game last night. But it's a testament to his will, his character, his perseverance, his fitness, and his ability to sort of just keep on persevering. I think it was great. It would have been perfect if he'd hit that three-pointer last night to win the game. Unfortunately, it was a clunker. No doubt that one was a clunker.
It was a clunker.
But everything else Westbrook did, I mean, they stormed back into this game. They nearly win this game anyway. But I think overall, the record of what he's achieved, you know, there's a lot of, hey, these records will never beat. Wilt's 100 points. You know, the Bulls, 72-10, it got beaten. You know, there's a lot of people talking now about the Scott Skiles record, the 30 assists one. You know, Steph Curry's a good example right now. He holds the record for most threes made in a season with 402. I think that one's going to be obliterated within the next sort of 5 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, probably by Steph himself, but then by some guy we don't even know yet. But this one that Russell has holds right now, and when he's done, I mean, he's probably got another at least 40 or 50 in it, maybe more, who knows. I think this one's going to be pretty much untouchable, I think. I mean, it's so far out there. And it's just for a guy to be keep on doing this later into his career. I know this guy's now, you know, Giannis and Jokic, they're getting a lot of triple-doubles themselves. Don't really feel though they're going to have that same run that Westbrook's gone on for a number of years. So maybe not. I mean, again, we thought the Bulls record wasn't going to get beaten, and it did. So, but I just think when all said and done, you know, he's 182 now. If he can get to 250 by the end of his career, that's going to be pretty tough, I think, for anyone to beat. But again, who knows, maybe. But overall, Westbrook deserves a lot of celebration and recognition for today for just what he's achieved.
Yeah, Westbrook getting his flowers here over the last couple of days. Trey, is that fair enough to say, you think, and rightfully deserved?
Yeah, totally. Because it's been a weird journey triple-double-wise for Westbrook. You know, when Durant left and Westbrook had the season where he averaged an entire triple-double for the whole season, won the MVP, that was like, whoa, man, somebody did it. And it wasn't LeBron who did it. That was crazy way back then. We were thinking LeBron's the only guy who could average a triple-double for a season. He's never done it. Now, at this point, Westbrook has done it so many times that it's lost its luster a little bit. Mm-hmm. Until now, he's actually breaking the record, a record that stood for 47 years. That is quite an accomplishment. To topple a record that has been around for that long, and now he's becoming Mr. Triple-Double, which I think is a cool nickname. Like Tass said, who knows if it sticks around. We're going to call him Russ forever. But it's people are giving him his flowers exactly right now, Skeets. To see Westbrook continuing to do this, to see him basically start getting all these triple-doubles and turning the Wizards around all at the same time, I think it's a shown people that, yeah, sometimes the triple-doubles were a little out of control, but they're also super valuable to his team, and he's a rare species to be able to kind of do this thing. You know, Nate McMillan said, not a lot of people remember Oscar Robertson and how he played. Certainly we don't, except for maybe Lee. I'm sure he saw some of his games in his prime back in the day, but if this is what Oscar Robertson was like playing in the 60s and 70s, you can see why he's one of the all-time greats. Can you imagine a guy like Westbrook running around back then? Would have been crazy. It's cool to think that these two guys now are going to be linked forever. Big O and Russell Westbrook. Yeah. We're going to remember them for their triple-doubles for a long, long time. And, you know, that's for whatever you think about the triple-double. And, you know, for a long time it was, oh, these are just round numbers. Who cares about it? I've said much the same thing in the past. These are round numbers, and they're huge round numbers, and there's 182 of them. We're going to remember it forever. We'll see if this sticks around for another 47 years. I'm a little dubious. I think Doncic will probably break this record eventually, but we shall see.
Yeah, that's the thing here, though, with these triple-doubles that Westbrook's been putting up lately that I think maybe he's been overlooked a little bit. These are not just like, 10, 10, and 10, or a 12, 11, and 10, you know, a 15, 11, and 10. These are just insane stat lines, Lee. Mm. Over his last, I'll just go 5 games. Okay, 14 points, 24 assists, 21 boards. Then he had 29 points, 17 assists, 12 boards. Then he had 13 points, 17 assists, 17 boards. Then he had 33 points, 15 assists, 19 boards. And then 28 points, 21 assists last night, and 13 rebounds. Like, these are, I mean, it's almost not fair to, like, just even call these, like, triple-doubles. Like, we almost need to come up with, like, the triple Brody or the Brody triple-double or something. Like, maybe if you hit 15 in 3 of the categories or something. Because, like, these are, like, next-level trip-dubs here. And it was the perfect Westbrook game. Like, dragging his team back into it, going bonkers, picking up the triple-double. Though there was some complications with that, too. We thought he had his 10th rebound and it had been taken away. And then, you know, it took him, what, 30 seconds later to grab that 10th one, officially go into the record books. But has a chance to win the game. Let's push it. Forget the timeout. And he settles with a clunker of a three, as you said, when they didn't even need a three-pointer. Yeah. It's just like, it just perfectly encapsulated Westbrook's season, career, whatever, that you can't take your eyes off it. And sometimes some hilarious decisions will be made. But he wouldn't even have a chance to win the game if he doesn't play like he does for like the final 3 or 4 minutes where he's just going bonkers. So it's like, it's like people are going to be upset that he takes a dumb shot and misses it, but it's like, well, you wouldn't even been in that scenario there. They're down 19, and he sort of, it felt like single-handedly drags them back. He's got like everybody on the, he grabs the board, hits the fast break, and it's like Rui Hachimura throwing down dunks left and right, and he's just setting up guys. Like, the other guys on his team last night, he has 21 assists. It's like Ish Smith and Lopez.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, these are like the leading scorers that he's playing with here, because there's no Beal in this one, but. Anyway, I'm glad he got there, and it was pretty cool what the Wizards did on Twitter, I thought, like with the videos, and you had Magic and Jason Kidd and a bunch of Big O sort of congratulating him along with his family members. His dad's name, Russell Westbrook Jr., always catches you by surprise to see the older guy called the junior, but then Westbrook is not a third.
Yeah.
So very strange. Anyway, congrats to Russ, and you know, good win there by the Hawks, too. We can maybe dig into that a little bit more. The last time an all-time NBA record, by the way, was broken was when Ray Allen passed Reggie Miller on the all-time three-pointers list in 2011. So it's been a while. And like, I say that just to say, like, this is important. I know some people are like, what are you guys doing wasting the first 10 minutes of this show talking about Westbrook's triple-double record here in a loss? But like, this just doesn't happen often. And you said it, Lee, this is one that a lot of people, LeBron himself was on record saying, no one's going to break this. Like, this will never be broken. The guy that we thought, like Trey said, would maybe do it or could maybe come close to doing it. And here it is going down after 47 years. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I would like to see just how many Russell Westbrook games has been where he's had 9 assists or 9 rebounds or something like that as well, because there's probably another 50 or so games of those in there. But look, he's 7th in rebounding in the league. He's leading the league in assists. He's 30th in scoring, but that's more a reflection of just everyone scoring because he's averaging 22 a game. You know, I've talked about it a lot. Has he done enough to get on All-NBA third team from here? I mean,
I was tweeting about it yesterday. I don't think he's going to. There's just too many damn good guards.
There are a lot.
And he had a slow start to the season, and it's not. And his team is like obviously just trying to get into the playoffs. You know, if they have another 15 wins, then it's like, yeah, I don't know how you cannot have Beal and Westbrook not on your All-NBA guards. Yeah. But there's a potential where both those guys are maybe not making it. They're going to warrant votes, Trey, but I just don't know if they'll get enough of them to ultimately make one of the three All-NBA teams.
These guys should not be close to the All-NBA teams. They've both had great seasons, but they're 5 games under 500 in the last week of the season trying to make the play-in tournament in the Eastern Conference. For this season, I mean, there's too many good candidates, Skeets. These guys are not close.
Fair enough. All right, next one here, guys. Fill in the blank. Trey, you can start us off. The most impressive win from Monday night was blank.
Most impressive win from Monday night was the Golden State Warriors. And for me, the reasons are threefold. First of all, they beat the Jazz. That's big time. Mm-hmm. No Donovan Mitchell, no Mike Conley. But the Warriors only had 8 guys in the Jazz are still a number one seed playing for something, a team that the Warriors could theoretically face in the first round, depending on how things play out. Number two, Steph Curry, he didn't even play that well, I didn't think. Ended up with 36 points because he's Steph Curry and he's awesome. 11 of 25 shooting, though, only 3 of 13 from three-point land. Royce O'Neal was all over him for the majority of this game. Bob Fitzgerald couldn't believe it. At one point he said, yeah, Kalena, there was an awkward moment earlier where Steph went up to meet his family. Royce O'Neal was right there meeting him, too. Kalena's like, huh? He was just saying, yeah, he was guarding him very closely. And he was. He was all over him. But Steph came alive in the clutch. Missed the three-pointer with, 20 seconds left. Warriors get the rebound. Draymond finds Steph moving without the ball. Hits the three to put the Warriors up. With 14 seconds left, they come back down on the other end. Ice it with free throws, but the big reason this was the win of the night for me is that it clinched a play-in spot for the Warriors, and they stayed in 8th place, which is huge right now. The Grizzlies and Spurs both got wins last night as well, so the Dubs are only a half game up on Memphis. Nobody wants to be in the play-in tournament. You definitely don't want to be the 9 seed. All things considered, a huge win for the Warriors last night.
Lee, you going with that one, or you got another game from last night that was more impressive to you?
Well, I'll just go with the Memphis Grizzlies because they had to win this game. They really need to keep home court advantage for facing the San Antonio Spurs, and the Spurs did get that big win over the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Grizzlies almost blew this one to the Pelicans again. The Pelicans, 2 games in a row where they nearly came back and stole it, but the Grizzlies hung on. So now they remain 2 games up on the Spurs, but they also have the tiebreaker over San Antonio. So that is, I think, critical for Memphis. They need to make sure they do have home court in that 9-10 battle there. So, yeah, the Warriors, they nearly blew it. They had a big lead, and the Jazz really stormed back. Huge game from Jordan Clarkson, and he fired up a pretty wild shot there at the end to try to, I guess, tie the game. But ultimately, I think Memphis, you know, this was again, like a playoff game for them. They needed to just keep themselves ahead of the Spurs just in case they lose that home court advantage in that one game that they will face. So I thought that was pretty impressive. It wasn't a good game from Morant. He was okay, but he went 0 for 5 from the free throw line last night.
Weird.
That's gross. But the Pelicans season, I mean, you know, they've basically been fighting to stay alive now for the last couple of weeks. They're still technically in it.
No, they're not. I know they technically are. But anyway,
the point, the reason I pointed out really is because the Grizzlies, like, you know, playoff type atmosphere. It's like teams are pushing. You can't overlook anybody. You've got to finish the job. And they did that. As I say, and get an impressive victory, and because home court is just massive for them, I think, against the Spurs.
Yeah, they tied a franchise record, the Grizzlies did, with 19 blocks last night. Valanciunas had 5 blocks, Triple J had 4. Kyle Anderson, slow-mo, at 4 blocks himself. 19 blocks. You don't see that all that often in the box score there from the team shutting them down at the rim. And by the way, Pelicans were playing without all their guys again here, though they had won the night before. No Zion, of course, because of the finger injury, and no Brandon Ingram and no Steven Adams, but kept it close. So Memphis plays tonight against Dallas at home, and then they got a back-to-back on Thursday and Friday hosting Sacramento. And then the Grizzlies finish with a game at Golden State on Sunday, which could determine the seeding, at least, in terms of like who is playing the Lakers, if it's still the Lakers in the 7th seed, and then who is hosting, let's say, the Spurs in that 9-10 matchup. So that could be absolutely massive. You're, of course, going to be playing for that. Yeah, maybe you don't want to play the Lakers, I guess, but still, you'd then have home court in the second game to try and get in as the 8th seed there. So something to watch. I'll say this, too. The Hawks was a pretty impressive win. I know all the headlines are going rightfully so to Westbrook, setting the record, but that's a good win from them. Collins was awesome, I thought. Trae Young, you know, had his moments here and there, turned it on a little bit there in the third quarter. Bogdan Bogdanovic is incredible right now. Did you see his 3, Lee, that he caught? Like, he spun and turned around like he was Steph Curry. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. He, like, started shooting while he was looking at the bench. And, like, in one motion, spun around and splashed it. He's on fire right now. I am very excited for a Hawks playoff series, first off, with Trae Young. Yeah, and if it's the Knicks. And that was another big win. The Heat are right there. Like, the Heat are right on the heels of both Atlanta and New York. So they want to get up to the 4-5 spot because no one wants to play the Bucks in the first round. So that's a big win for Atlanta. And, like, you know, of course helps their chances of even going to the second round. Like, I don't think they're going to beat the Bucks, I'll be honest, if they play in the first round series. But as we've talked about many times here, like, the Knicks, especially if they had a home court advantage, I mean, that's a toss-up to me, that series. That's a 7-game series. I would lock that in. So, good win from Atlanta there against Russell Westbrook trying to bring his team back from 19 down.
Talk about Bogdanovic. What about Bertans there in that comeback? Some of the shots he took. I mean, he's the same. He, if he's running towards the three-point line, he's a shooter. He does not care where the defense is, how much time's on the shot clock. And when he catches fire like that, it's like, all right, there's not much you can do about it. So it's a weird, fun game down there at the Fortress last night. Yeah. Should have went, man.
Oh, should have masked up and went down. It's right here. All right, next one. This is unfortunate news for the Beantown boys. Jaylen Brown is out for the season. Torn wrist ligament. So he's done. So the question is, and the fill in the blank, you know, the Celtics' odds now of winning a first-round series are blank. Go ahead there, TK.
Slim to none. Sorry to the Beantown boys. Sorry to Chief. Sorry to Happy Wedge. Gotta hit you with the Vince Carter. It's over. Jay King at The Athletic called this a cursed season for the Celtics, and that is absolutely the case. They haven't been able to get everybody healthy for the entire season. Ergo, they haven't been able to be at their best. Even Brad Stevens said the same. We can only peak if we're healthy. Now we're locking in that the Celtics are not going to be healthy, which is too bad because Jaylen Brown was having a great season on that Jimmy Butler path. Career highs in points per game, assists per game, field goal percentage, and three-point percentage. He's been on fire the past couple of months. Furthermore, I think he's one of the bigger tone setters on their team. One of the few Celtics who really puts pressure on the rim consistently. He brings the effort, the physicality, the defense every single night. To me, Boston, like a lot of teams, looks their worst when they just don't have the juice. They don't have the energy. And they've been out of it a lot since Jaylen went down. They're looking good for the seventh seed right now, but I don't know. This really evens the playing field in the play-in tournament, I think. They look ripe for the picking. I would take the Hornets over, or I would probably take the Celtics over the Hornets, considering the Hornets are looking like they're not going to have Hayward as well. But it's easy to see Boston laying an egg. Suddenly you've got to play a really hot, motivated Wizards team. That's scary stuff for the Celtics. Losing Tatum or Brown would be devastating to the Celtics' chances going into the playoffs. They lost one of them. I kind of think that Brown just does a few more of the little things for the Celtics that are really going to matter. So, yeah, super bummer news for Boston.
Yeah, what do you think, Lee? What are you putting these odds at? Of them winning a first-round series is how I worded it, too. Yeah. TK's even concerned about them even getting into the playoffs and getting their victory in the play-in tournament. What do you think, though?
Well, in that sense, it's actually, I think their chances are about the same because I don't think they were going to get past the Nets or the Bucks or the Sixers, who they would have been facing anyway. I mean, they would have, I don't think, gotten swept, but now it is just a matter of whether or not they can avoid being eliminated before they even get to the top eight. So, yeah, Jaylen Brown defensively, he is their best defender. He's tough. Offensively, he's fantastic. And Tatum has been great this season. You know, he was an all-star, but now so much more of the workload just falls on his shoulders. Kemba seems to be, you know, in and out of the lineup with dealing with injury issues. If he's playing, you know, they're a good team. But you just can't see them beating one of those top three teams at all. So, yeah, if they can get out of the play-in tournament, I think that's probably a win for them this season right now, because I think it is going to be tough for them even to advance out of that. They've just been so inconsistent as well this season, at home, on the road, and now they're missing their 1A player. So very, very tough to see them gaining anything now out of this season. And as I say, even when they're at full strength, tough to see them beating one of those top three teams. So now it just makes it even harder.
It's Evan Fournier time, baby. He will presumably continue to start here in Brown's place. He's been actually better because he had his own COVID concerns when he came over around the trade deadline from the Magic. I mean, absolutely all their star guys or whatever, their best players, have some point, if not multiple times this season, been like gone. I mean, it started with Tatum, obviously, with COVID, and then Brown's had a bunch of injuries before this injury with the wrist. Smart, of course, missed a good chunk of time. It goes on and on and on. Yeah, you said Kemba Walker in and out. But Fournier, he's averaging 15 points per game over the last seven games where he's all started. Really good shooting percentages, so they're going to need a huge couple of games from him here in the play-in games, or even if they get in the playoffs. Maybe if they get into the playoffs, like Evan Fournier, it feels like he always wins like a game one in a strange series, so that'll help the Celtics' chances to get up, to steal one from a Brooklyn Nets team or something like that before the gentleman sweep. But this sucks. What a brutal season. I mean, I thought the Raptors had a garbage season. I think the Celtics are right there, neck and neck in terms of just disappointing, crumple it up and throw it out and just, like, look forward to next season. Maybe it's a weird blessing in disguise in that sense, TK. It's like, all right, we weren't doing anything anyway. Like Lee said, I sort of agree with that. We probably weren't winning a first-round series. We may have gotten in there with Brown, but all right, just shut him down. It's going to take, like, what, 4 or 5 months usually an injury like this? It is his offhand, so that's good. And we start it all up again next season when hopefully everybody's healthy. Maybe.
I think that was a huge part of it, Skeets, because Jaylen Brown had been playing through this injury as well. The reason he was out of the lineup, I thought, was because they had that weird collision between him and Tatum during a game where somebody kind of like stepped on the side of Jaylen Brown's ankle and that hurt his ankle. That sent him out of that game. But now he's missing time here to get something taken care of for next season. Perhaps it's a little bit of looking at the writing on the wall saying, this is not our year. It's not happening this year. The Celtics came in a very shallow team. They've had to deal with a ton of injuries, a ton of absences, like you're saying, and you can see the effect. So perhaps it's smarter to just get healthy for a regular full season next year.
I think the real reason he may have been playing a few of those games over the last little bit was to hit that magic number of 58 games played. If you saw Bobby Marks saying, I think that was in the old contract there, a little bonus, a little incentive if you hit that, a little more money in his pocket. So, you know, he sucked it up and played through some of those games to get to that benchmark. That's just a guess. It seems all too convenient that he did get to 58 before he was ultimately shut down. But that sucked because Jaylen Brown was having a career year, and hopefully he comes back stronger than ever.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, our final one, TK, this one goes to you. Fill in the blank. Just tell me, who had the tastier big beef last night? Who does it belong to?
Well, Skeets, before we can decide, we need to get some eyes on that beef. We got to peep the beef. JD, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Clint Capella had 22 rebounds.
That's a lot of roast beef.
Domantas Sabonis had 20 rebounds.
The beef
becomes the
beefer.
No Dunks. We love roast beef. Which is rebounds.
Beat switch up there.
That's right, a new outro track that comes to us from Jared Dryden. He dropped it on Discord, said, I was thinking about rebounds the whole time I made this beef.
Wow.
Beat. Shout out to Jared Dryden. As for which beef was more delicious, to get a double beef on Wedgie Day almost felt sacrilegious.
All right.
But they're both delicious, if you're asking me. Number six on the season for Capella puts him in the lead for the beef crown. He's leading the league in rebounds per game and rebound rate. Looks like he's going to win the rebound title this year, breaking Andre Drummond's streak of three straight seasons. Nonetheless, I'm going boner here. The Pacers have been getting beefed hard lately. Nice to see the tables turned, and Indiana literally needed these rebounds. The Cavs led most of this game.
Yeah.
It looked like the Pacers were going to blow it playing against the Cavs team that was super shorthanded, but Sabonis and these boards wore Cleveland down, tired him out over the course of 48 minutes. Seriously, Sabonis relentless on the glass. You saw his last couple of rebounds came on the same play as he was trying to shut down Dean Wade. As a massive Cavs fan, tough to see them blow it on a huge night from Dean Wade, but As a beef aficionado, you gotta tip your cap to Domantas Sabonis. The Pacers needed those rebounds. They needed a huge game from Sabonis to stay ahead, I guess. Actually, they moved into ninth, I suppose, last night in the play-in tournament with the Wizards loss. But for a while there, it was looking like Indiana might lose that game. That would have been a terrible loss for them. So, clutch beef from Sabonis.
Yeah. Lee, was there a tastier one in your opinion?
Well, I think I saw Sabonis get a rebound, turn it over, and then catch an airball.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And then I saw he had 20 rebounds. So I was like, oh, he just scraped in there.
Yep.
So I guess catching an airball is a rebound. I know I sort of have thought that. And sometimes I think as well, sometimes it's the first guy who touches it after a missed shot gets credit for the rebound. But sometimes it's just whoever sort of then takes clean possession. So in that case, I think Capella was a couple of them as well. Someone else sort of touched it, but then he grabs the ball, so he gets the rebound. So it's great. Yeah, what a great addition it's been this season, just the beef watch. There's way more beefs than I thought we were going to have.
Oh,
I mean,
totally. This is volume 27, it said on that screen card, which means there's even more than that because, sometimes you lump them together like last night when we had two guys.
And that's the thing when it comes back to wedgies, when we first started tracking them, people are like, oh, you see one every 3 or 4 years in the league, and it's like, No, you don't. All the time. So there's so many hidden beefs out there that we didn't even know about. You know?
Right. Are you going to be counting the beefs in the playoffs?
I can't stop at this point. All right. I'm beef obsessed. Find me. I thought I was just casually turning on a Cavs game to watch last night, and suddenly I'm getting beefed hard. Oh, Skeets, that's looking good on you, my man.
Yeah, it's a nice shirt, that big beef shirt. I was also thinking, too, watching the Westbrook game, because you're watching it a little differently, right, where he's trying to again, set history, beat Oscar Robertson's triple-double record. So you're watching every single Westbrook play. And man, when you do that and you watch the game like that, you really notice how weird some of these stats are. Like, rebounds is one. Like you said, they were even talking about it on the Hawks broadcast. Like, Vince Carter straight up asked Dominique Wilkins at one point, like, is that a rebound? Because it was like an air ball situation, and they were very confused. And then the assists, man, oh my goodness, they are super liberal with some of these assists sometimes, where it's like, all right, he gave it to him, and then the guy made a couple moves, and it's like, okay, that's an assist, we're calling it. That's why I think 30 assists, that's Scott Skiles' record, it is 100% going to be broken here. I would guess in the next couple of years, and I don't know, I saw people earlier in the stream team asking, like, who's going to do it? Who's going to break Scott Skiles' 30 assists in a game record? Like, do you have an answer, Lee? I mean, is it Westbrook? I mean, he very easily could do it.
Yeah, I mean, you need someone who I think has got a good three-point shooting couple of teammates, and then someone who you can also throw lobs to, you know? So, I mean, who's that? I mean, you sort of think Steph Curry, if you've got, like,
get passed to himself.
Well, if you got Clay back, and then, you know, Wiggins can hit those three, but then who are they going to sort of lob that into?
Why wouldn't you go with Draymond Green in that situation?
Oh, well, yeah, Draymond's actually, he's a good one too. But, talk about assists, because I check for the VSPs, I go through and just look at every assist, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, there's
something. You pass it off, guy takes two dribbles, fakes, waits, steps back, hits a shot, it's like, assist. Okay, sure. You know.
Yeah. Trey, if you had to pick somebody to potentially break Scott Skiles' 30 assists in a game record, who would you go with?
What did you say we need, Lee? Three-point shooting and lob threats?
Yes. Yep.
Give me Nikola Jokic. With a healthy Jamal Murray, a healthy Michael Porter Jr., and Aaron Gordon cutting backdoor, 30 assists from a center? Legendary stuff.
I don't mind. Trey Young, maybe?
Yeah, Trey Young's a good one.
In the mix.
Moment, he's got Capella, Bogdanovich, Herder, John Collins, Gallinari. I mean, he's got everything there. So,
all right, well, let's hear from you guys in the stream team. Who are we forgetting? I'm sure people are going to say Luka. There's tons of guys that have already gotten 20 assists. They've done the old applesauce. And, a game goes to overtime or something like that. You get a little more, 5 more minutes of extra playing time. 30 can be done. I think it's going to happen. Put me down, it'll happen in the next, 3 seasons.
What's number two? Has there been a 29 assist game? Has anybody even gotten close on this one?
Sessions?
Ramon Sessions definitely went over 20 at some point.
I mean, I just said Westbrook had, 24, in the last 2 weeks or something like that. Yeah.
I'm tap dancing here as Stathead is loading the stats. You're going to have to check back in with me because it's searching for every single assist since 1983 to 1984.
Kevin Porter got 29. John Stockton got 28.
Okay.
Guy Rogers got 28. Bob Cousy, 28. Stockton, 27. Yeah, so Rondo had 25 of the modern-day players.
Okay.
About 4 years ago, he had that. So, Nate McMillan, yeah. So there's been a few guys. Kevin Porter, I wonder if that's his dad, Kevin Porter Sr. It was 1978, New Jersey versus Houston.
I have no idea if it is, if they're related. But
well, he's a junior, so maybe.
Well, yeah, I understand. Might be other Kevin Porters in the world. I guess that's possible, too. But, man, both playing in the NBA. You could be right. I got no clue. All right. Let's hear from you guys, though. Who's going to eventually break Skiles, you know, one-game record there for Dimes? Okay, let's get to the up-down report.
Prepare your tubies. It's the up-down report.
Yeah, into the up-down report. First one. Okay, I love this one. Last week, we learned from Howard Beck. What up, Beck? That Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic are eligible at both center and forward per the official All-NBA ballot. You know, people are filling these out. It's the final week of the regular season. So, all that to say, if the Joker is on your first team as the center, you can technically vote Joel Embiid as a first team forward instead of bumping him to the second team and putting him at the center position. Now, this has been going on for a couple of years, but it's obviously making headlines here because these are the two frontrunners for MVP. But the question is, the up-down question is, are you up or down on voting both Jokic and Embiid to an All-NBA first team? What do you think, Lee? Get us started. Up or down on this? Oh, my God. You're up on this.
I'm up on this, right?
Hold out the thumb.
I'm up on this because the three best front court players in the league this season, in my opinion, have been Jokic, Joel Embiid, and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
So I think they deserve first team recognition. Now, and according to that article by Beck, you know, they both have center and forward. I believe that's right. But Nikola Jokic on NBA.com is only a center. Giannis is only a forward. Embiid is a forward center. So the
Embiid
debate
never plays forward.
I know that. Never. Joel Embiid is not a forward. Joel Embiid is a center.
Yeah.
So what we need to do clearly is decide we're either having positions and guys have to represent a real position.
Yeah.
Or we're scrapping positions altogether. Because right. it's ridiculous to say, like someone like Kevin Durant, who's had a great season, but he's missed a ton of games. Now, I believe Joel Embiid deserves recognition on that first thing. When it comes to all NBA, we know that this is a bigger honor than All-Star game because it's there's a less of a field. And we know that for the most part, it doesn't really matter which team you're on, but you want to be on that first team because second or third is basically the same. But first is more recognition, I think. Right? So you deserve it. I think so. Yeah. I think at the end of your career, you say All-NBA and he was a 10-time first All-NBA-er. I think you sort of emphasize that, in my opinion.
I don't think we do enough, to be honest.
Well, maybe not enough, but I think you do. So in my opinion, I think those three players, as I mentioned, Giannis, Joel, and Nikola Jokic deserve All-NBA first-team recognition. If you want to say he's a center, a forward, whatever you want to do. Luka Doncic is listed as a forward guard on NBA.com. Yeah. He is not a forward. He is a guard. So the NBA needs to pick a lane.
Yeah.
You get either, you know, one position for guys like Joel Embiid, who's clearly a center, or we just remove positions from the All-NBA team.
Okay, but do two wrongs make a right? Because we are all agreeing it's wrong what the NBA is doing with these dumb, like, designations here that Giannis is not a forward center. He's just a forward.
A forward, yes, that's right.
Okay, but Embiid is. But then you're saying, well, these are the rules. Like, my guy Ben Gulliver, we just had him on. He's like, hey, the NBA's rules, so I'm putting Embiid as the forward. Like, that's another wrong to me, Trey. But you're the big man of the group, so I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on this one. Do you even sit okay with putting Embiid as a forward on the All-NBA first team? Or should he just be a center and you got to pick between Embiid and Jokic for which one you think's had the better year, for the first team at least?
I've actually got Jokic as my first team guard for All-NBA with the way he handles the ball all the time. Of course I love this, Skeets, because all the little guys are getting salty about it. After years and years of trying to get rid of centers, now you can't keep them off. This is clearly ridiculous, but also classic Tim Duncan listed as a power forward center because he played with David Robinson at the beginning of his career.
Yep.
Stayed as a power forward because Shaq was in the league and they wanted to get him some first team votes. Nothing has changed. It's just different players years and years later. It's going to look weird if Jokic and Embiid both show up somehow as forwards and there's another center. Can you imagine that? Throw Rudy Gobert in there. He's had a huge impact this year. We're going for the biggest All-NBA team of all time.
But personally, I would have Jokic as my center. I would have Embiid as my second center, since those are the positions they play. But if you're going to leave a loophole there, people are going to hop right through that, baby.
Yeah, Zilla wrote here in his newsletter this morning, the league was leaning into flexibility without getting to the natural conclusion of total flexibility. That is spot on here. Like, Trey, man, you are a cannonball guy. That's how you jump in a pool. You right. jump in. You don't put your toe in and walk down the steps. That's stupid. And that's what they're doing here. Like, just do one or the other. Like you said, Lee, it's either you really have to say, I would be fine with this. You either go, you ask the player or the team, whatever. Hey, what position are you at the start of the season? Like, which one? Where do you want to go? I don't care if you're Jokic and he says point guard. Okay, it's up to you. But that's it. You're locked in. Or just get rid of them completely, which is obviously makes more sense. We've already done it with the All-Star team. And I actually disagree a little bit, Lee. Like, I don't think it's by any means a knock that Embiid would be the center on my second team, which is where I have him slotted right now, because I think Jokic is the MVP. So that makes sense. The two best players in the league, in terms of at least, you know, the MVP race, are big guys. They're centers. They're both centers. And I just don't see that as a bad thing. I don't think we do look back all that much. We just go, that guy was a 10-time All-NBA player. There's very little like, oh, hold on, how many third teams? How many second teams? We actually don't do that all that often when we talk about these guys and their Hall of Fame credentials and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think. We haven't on our show, at least, over the last decade or so. So, yeah. I mean, it's just not, my point is, it's not a, it's like, hey, are you one of the best 15 players? Are you one of the best three players of your position? Okay, that's a damn good year. And that's awesome. And you've been awarded as such.
Yeah, I just think that first team is the one that sort of stands out just a little bit more. It's okay. Just a little bit shinier than all third team. Because sometimes you look back and you think, was that guy All-NBA that one year? And you go, oh yeah, he was actually third team. You know, so I think like Victor Oladipo made All-NBA third team. Now, I just think he maybe deserved it that season. But you don't sort of talk about it in the same way that you maybe talk about a James Harden crazy season or, a Westbrook or a Steph Curry. That's my point. I think it's still an incredible honor to make any of the teams. I just think that the number one is the like, it's like starting in an All-Star game. Like, it doesn't actually mean more necessarily, but it's like, yeah, I'm a starter. I'm a, you know, that's my spot. So it's, you know.
I mean, the thing is, though, like Trey was sort of alluding to it, like there have been years where it's like, well, we didn't have a lot of centers in this
exactly.
game. And we were like struggling to figure out who like the All-NBA third center was. And it's like, yeah. All right, it's Andre Drummond. Okay. It's like, it's got to be by default. And you're yeah. like, then you're like, oh, hold on. Andre Drummond was considered one of the 15 best players in the league that year? No. I mean, DeAndre Jordan yeah. was an All-NBA first team for crying out loud. Right. Like, it yeah. was a bad year for centers, obviously, that year. I think we just get rid of the positions. And then it's fine. Because then it's like, well, all right. If you got Jokic and Embiid there, it's like, who cares? We're not playing these games. Mm. We don't ever play All-NBA first team versus All-NBA second team. Like, it doesn't matter.
Maybe they should play. Game That'd night be great. For happy hour. Yeah, that's what we need.
That would be fantastic.
I wonder if in some people's contracts, there is like a little clause. It's like if you're all NBA first team, you get a million bonus. If you're second or third, you get half a million. Yeah, I'm sure there probably is. So
I think they get that specific with it. They shouldn't. Their agents should not be doing that because there's obviously a lot of money at stake here, and it's in the hands of, well, first off, the NBA and their designations for you in terms of the ballot, and then of course the actual voters themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, they're playing with your money there. There's a lot of money tied up in this stuff. But, yeah, all right. Well, probably this maybe is just the step to getting rid of them. Hopefully it is. Maybe they'll be gone completely. Though they've been around since the start, I think, Trey. They don't, you know, NBA is holding on to this one. This is a tradition. Have that center position.
Okay, sure. Yeah, sounds good. Let's keep it around. I don't know, Skeets. You were the guy who wanted to go 10 teams deep.
Oh.
You got 10 centers? Or are you going to get all 30 centers on your NBA team since they're all eligible for forward spots as well? We're going to get two Hernan Gomez's on the All-NBA team?
I was filling out, just for fun, my All-NBA teams. Might do something with it this week on the show, of course. So I did an All-NBA fourth team. Yeah, that's where I stopped right now. But no problem doing a fifth team because I was like looking at it. You know, there's a lot of talk about the guards and how many snubs there's going to be. And I was tweeting like, man, you got to leave off like a Trae Young or a Mitchell or a Beal, a Westbrook, blah, blah, blah. Like when you get to the third team. Domantas Sabonis is going to be a massive snub when it comes to these things. Like, he's having an incredible year. And I don't even hear his name, like, considered. And fair enough. There's too many damn good forwards, too. But he'd be on the fourth or fifth team there, Trey, is what I'm getting at. I think he'd be on my fifth team. I think he'd be that bump that far because, you know, Tatum's a forward. Jimmy's a forward. Randall, of course, is a forward. Zion's a forward.
That's right.
I mean, you just start running out of spots, so... Congrats to Sabonis on the All-NBA 15.
Huge congrats to him. Hey, they gave the Hawks gave a video tribute to Alex Len last night.
Yeah.
So, hey, man, he's been part of this turnaround for the Wizards. Throw him on your 11th team.
All right, our next one here. A 9-part docuseries chronicling the history of the Lakers will be produced by Hulu. That media company announced on Monday. The original series will debut in 2022. The series will take viewers through the last four decades of the team. So the Lakers getting a 9-part documentary series here. Are you up or down on it? And let's start with you, Trey. What do you think?
Oh, I'm up. This is going to be a banger, no doubt. Last Dance was a banger, and this is going one episode extra because the Bulls may have the most famous basketball player of all time, but the Lakers have the most famous basketball players of all time. We're talking four decades, supposed to be starting, I suppose, after Wilt Chamberlain's career. I imagine he makes it in somehow. George Mikan likely gets a mention as well, too. But even if not, we're going from Kareem to Magic to Shaq to Kobe to LeBron. All of them with tremendous achievements along the way, with tremendous drama alongside them. You've got Antoine Fuqua directing, best known for Training Day, but to me, his best movie is Shooter, starring Mark Wahlberg, a classic. I'm watching it next in 2045. Should be a good documentary series. Going to be stylish, I'm sure, which works for LA. I don't know, Skeets. I've been tucking in my shirt for a year now since The Last Dance came out. What's going to be the next wave coming off this Lakers one? Can't wait to find out. Of course, this is going to be great.
Lee, up or down on a Lakers 9-part series? Do we need this, is the question, Lee?
I'm really looking forward to the sort of Showtime era. I think that was just like, you know, really what helped propel the league into global recognition because you had the most glamorous team with a guy whose name was Magic, who was he a point guard? I can't remember, but you know,
his career as a center.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you see, you know, with Pat Riley on the side as well, the sort of godfathery type coach, and then you had, of course, Jerry Buss, who was you know, one of the most iconic and influential people in the entire Los Angeles sort of you know, media and real estate landscape there. So that, to me, I mean, that could be a 9-part series just itself on the Showtime Lakers, I think, you know. But then they had the rivalry as well, of course, against Larry Bird. So it was everything that you could sort of, if you were to write a script about, I think that's what you would get out of that 80s era. And then, you know, they went through a bit of a doldrum there in the 90s. And then, of course, they land the biggest name in the world, Shaq, who comes along. And then they get Phil Jackson and they have Kobe, of course, and they win championships again. So there's so many different stories here. And, you know, the fact that it is the biggest media market, I guess, with the biggest city, the most glamour, that's where Hollywood is, just makes it a perfect sort of setting for a series like this.
Look, I'm pumped to watch this. We're going to watch it. We're going to talk about it. But I'm not excited for everything else like surrounding it. And what I mean by that is, like, just get ready for your top 5, top 10 all-time Lakers of all time and the stupid debates that will come from that. It's just like, you can already do it now, let alone something like this that you can, like, build your debate shows around. So I guess that's the one thing I'm not looking forward to. Otherwise, I'm all in. You're right. Fantastic director and 9 parts, you know? They're not holding back here. There's a lot to tell, I guess, over, what, 4 decades or something like that, the ups and downs of the Lakers. So let's hear from you guys. Final
Hope
one, though.
Hope they don't skip the Eldon Campbell era.
Ooh.
Oh, my man, Eldon Campbell gets a mention. Eddie Jones, how about those forgotten early 90s teams of the Lakers? I know, Skeets, you're probably wearing your Nick Van
Damn
Exel
right.
jersey during this. Those will be the interesting ones. You know, everybody knows about the great teams. Let's hear about your bad teams.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, like how much will they actually discuss the down years for the Lakers?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be something to watch. All right, our final one. This is just incredible. This fit from Act Normal or Else. On Sunday, she posted this wild Garfield meets the Phoenix Suns jersey. Why does this exist? I have no clue, but... Trey, are you up or down on this insane Garfield Suns jersey mashup? Thumbs up.
Sure,
loves it.
Sure. Why not? Throw a Lee Ellis, Russell Westbrook. Why not on this one? Forget Space Jam. I want my NBA crossover to have a cartoon that hates Mondays and exercising, but loves lasagna and taking naps. The colors work perfectly. Perhaps that's the entire reason that this jersey exists. They're like, hey, Garfield's orange. Throw him on an orange team jersey. I don't know. I started obviously Googling this to see if you can find one. It looks like they're all bootlegs. Yeah. Some of them are somehow related to Kanye West's Homecoming album. I don't understand how that makes sense either. He's not a Phoenix guy. He's not an Arizona guy. Garfield isn't associated with Kanye either. Doesn't make any sense. That's why I'm super up on this. So weird. Imagine just like being at a thrift store. You're flipping through some tank tops. Oh, look, another Quicksilver. Look, a Billabong. And then suddenly you see a Garfield Phoenix Suns jersey. That's like an instant purchase.
Yeah, I would buy this. I would wear this. Lee, what would you do? Would you like it?
I guess so. I still don't really know why or how or when this came about, but it's out there. So why not? You know, people personalizing their own jerseys with a really smarmy-looking cat there who's just like Trey says, he hates everything. He's a classic cat. But he's also on the front of a Phoenix Suns.
Well, he doesn't hate everything. He loves lasagna.
Well, okay, yeah, he does love lasagna. Fair enough, too. Lasagna was great as kids. I mean,
was great.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Oh, I just can't replicate it the way that Mum used to be able to do it, you know.
Oh.
But we're also trying to, you know, with the veggie lasagna and stuff. Yeah. You know, lasagna. Yeah.
Okay.
But Garfield's resurgent. He seems to be around a bit more these days. I don't know where that came from, but
he is.
What? Isn't he? I seem to have seen him around a lot more, just popping up in memes and stuff like that.
You make it sound like he's walking around your neighborhood.
No, that's just a neighborhood cat, Lee. That's just an orange cat walking.
Oh, we have got an orange cat who's just like that. He just like struts around, doesn't say hello to anyone. He's just sort of like classic cat, you know? Oh, okay. Some cats at least look as if like they acknowledge you. This thing just struts around one step at a time. I'm on my own time, guys. We know, we're playing basketball here.
All right. Did you have a favorite comic growing up, Lee? Like strip?
I liked Robot Man, I think it was called. You know Robot Man?
No.
Actually, the best one was the Far Side. What? Did you know the Far Side?
Far Side, yeah.
Yeah, that was trending last week.
That was a little bit more
for
an older demographic.
Yeah, adult. Oh, Far Side. Yeah, Robot Man was great.
Robot Man,
yeah.
Okay.
What was his name?
I took you for a Marmaduke fan for some reason.
Nah.
Oh, what a diss, man. Somebody's a Marmaduke fan.
I took you for a Family Circus fan. That's the meanest thing you can say to anybody.
Yeah. This guy can only handle one circle at a time, a big Family Circus guy walking around, breaking all the pots and pans.
Yeah. We had Hagar the Horrible.
He was
pretty good. He was pretty good.
He had a good run.
Who else was there?
What about Calvin and Hobbes, Lee?
Don't know if they made the Herald Sun in Australia. I'm just trying to think who we had, who else we had.
You might need to do some catching up. Now's a great time to get in, get the entire archives.
Well, I used to buy Mad magazines. I mean, I know that's not a comic strip, but they were pretty good. They still make those.
JD, maybe you could chime in. I know your son used to read them.
He still subscribes to Mad, but they're not making new Mads as of last year. They the Us and Mad Magazine, big casualties in the Warner Media AT&T merger. So, but they do publish it, but it's all old. They just repurpose old
classics, certified old classics. Basically.
They're just certified classics.
Do they have that page fold?
The fold in? I think so.
Those are sweet.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I love those.
Yeah,
Mad Mag, it holds up. It's great. It is awesome. Some great.
JD,
writers.
Do you have a favorite comic strip?
Big Calvin and Hobbes guy back in the day, yeah. And hey, Family Circus is delightful.
It's delightful.
Especially ones where, when I was a little kid, I used to love following, you know, where they have like a map and they show everywhere the kid's been sort of thing.
Yeah,
that was the big Sunday spread.
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's great. Okay. All right. Stuff. Sorry to all you Family Circus fans out there. I know it's low hanging fruit. I know it's an easy one to rip on. Wasn't there like a whole bit going around once, like where they just removed all the text from Family Circus comic strips. Or was that Garfield they maybe did, too?
There is a Garfield without Garfield that was popular for a while.
Yeah.
And it was just basically like, it makes John Arbuckle into the saddest guy of all time.
That's it.
Guess I'll eat another lasagna.
Yeah, I feel like that was popping off during my Tumblr days or something.
Oh, yeah,
like,
big Tumblr. Big Tumblr.
All right, let's hear from everybody out there your favorite comic strip off of that Garfield Phoenix Sun jersey. Or better yet, let us know, or somebody out there, do a great mashup of another comic strip character with another NBA jersey. Let's see what you guys can come up with out there. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
JD, Tweet of the Night. What do you got?
Yeah, so I follow way too many sports people on Twitter. Maybe part of the reason I don't really like Twitter, because it's just nonstop sports, and it's my job, and, you know, I like to keep up with things, but then, you know, not so much sometimes. But anyways, this one sports guy that I think we all know him, Matt Ufford. ESPN, sure, right? He's posts lots of sports things, but he is also a noted bird enthusiast. So whenever I see all this sports stuff in my feed, and then he'll come along with the feather report, right? Because I think he's a big bird watcher. So this morning, he just posted this. Let's meet some birds. And I was like, yes, let's do this. So here are some birds. Brought to you by Matt Ufford. So the first one here is the northern water thrush.
Huh.
Not a thrush. It's a warbler with the shrug emoji or the, well, what are you going to do emoji, whatever it is. And that is interesting. How is a water thrush not a thrush? It's a warbler. Right. Wow. Next one. Okay. Great egret. Its neck is auditioning to be an S in a sports team logo, that is a freaky neck, you have to admit, right? Like,
it is.
That's a freaky neck.
Apologies to the audio people. You know, it's just very visual, this one. Okay, yeah, next
we're,
one.
We're meeting some birds. Hey, by the way, the egret or whatever it's called, that was the bird that Ben Gulliver was talking about that he was, like, chasing around down in the bubble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Eastern kingbird. This bird is straight up handsome as hell.
Yeah. Mm.
Agreed.
That's a classic looking bird right there. Really nice.
Just a quiet confidence that I admire.
Kind of looks like he's wearing a helmet.
Yeah. It does.
Slip on a batting helmet and go sit on a twig. The Eastern kingbird.
And finally, the wild turkey. Lovecraftian nightmare. I loathe its presence.
I'm with Matt there. I don't care for this type of bird.
Yeah.
That bird, it didn't look prehistoric, I guess. Give him that.
Yeah, exactly.
Give him that. Tip of the cap.
Good whiskey, though. Good whiskey.
Yeah, it's true. Matt Ufford, I've had a whiskey with Matt in a divey New York bar once upon a time.
Oh, perfect. Did
Way
he talk
back
about
when,
birds?
When the Raptors were in the playoffs, taking on the Nets.
Ah.
When they were in New Jersey, 06 or something. 06, I believe. Maybe 06, 07, something like that. Yep.
Wow, early days.
Mm. Shout out to Matt Ufford and Becky Blum.
Yeah.
You know her.
Of course. She judged our People's Duck contest in the day. Anybody have a favorite bird?
I mean, you know what? This is probably a basic bitch kind of choice right here, but I love me a cardinal. Love a cardinal.
Great bird. Lots down here, too.
Oh man. They're coming back right now, too, Skeets. Once you see him showing up in that bird feeder. Delicious.
Listen, and a cardinal really pops in Atlanta because Atlanta is so green. Yeah. And you just see that red dot, you can spot them a mile away. Yeah, cardinal.
Yeah.
There's
Lee, what do you got?
There's blue jays here too.
Yeah.
I've seen a ton of them. But I'm sticking with the kookaburra's favorite bird.
Homer!
Yeah, kookaburras are legit. They're legit. They're good, tough animals.
They're legit.
They are, man. Not afraid of snakes. You see a snake. The kookaburra's there. The kookaburra's going to take that snake. So not many birds can say that. So give me the burra.
All right. Great, great, great tweet of the night there. Nice thread there from Matt Ufford. Awesome work, JD. Pick'em results from last night. It was the Jazz-Warriors game. Utah was favored by 3.5. These pick'em results brought to you by BetMGM. And we had Trey and Lee coming through with the Warriors pick. Hit the money line. I threw it out there. I said it was a possibility, and you guys got it right. Trace 5-1. Hello.
Hey.
Loss for Tass and I, though. I'm 4-2. Okay, we're running out of time here in this short month of May because we're only doing the regular season. Lee, you're 2-4. So is Tass. You guys are tied for last place. So tonight's game, Heat Celtics. It's in Boston. Obviously no Jaylen Brown still. Miami's favored by 2.5. And Miami's playing for something here. They're obviously, like I said, trying to get up to that fourth, fifth spot, chasing the Hawks. There's a bird. And the Knicks. So, Lee, let's start with you. Who do you want to take? You want Miami winning by 3 or more, or Boston to cover?
Yeah, let's go Miami.
Wait, are you trying to win, well, or are you trying to lose?
Now I'm confusing myself here because...
I thought you were trying to lose.
Yeah, they should win by 3 points or more. So I should take Boston. Yep. But Boston's a weird team as well. Don't go out and do something weird, Celtics, and play awesome tonight, okay? So, Boston.
Oh, my God.
What?
He's taking the Celtics. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
He's taking the Celtics. Trey, go ahead. You go next. You're on fire.
I think it's going to be the Heat. Yep. Like you said, Skeets, they've been playing pretty well, and they're actually playing for something. So give me the win. Give me the cover, Miami.
I'm also going the Heat to win by 3 or more. I can't believe this line is that small, if I'm being completely honest. But JD, you're picking for Tass here. I think he forgot to send in his video today. So, yeah, you're tied right now in last place with Lili. He's taking the Celtics. Are you going the opposite of him or rolling with Boston?
Yeah, Tass and I have been slacking back and forth here, and here's what he has. This is the last dispatch from Tass. Jaylen Brown done for the season. Miami just beat Boston. How can the Celtics cover? But nothing makes sense. Boston's the pick. So
okay,
I think he's
here we go. I thought so. I thought he was going to go there. Okay, so Lee and Tass are going to be tied. They're either picking up a game on me, or they're going to be falling into an even deeper hole. So two guys taking Boston, Trey and I taking Miami to win by 3 or more. All right, let's call it there. What a fun show. Please like, comment, and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us your NBA questions and comments for tomorrow's Beach Steppin' Podcast. Back to the beach to read your emails and tweets. Grab your No Dunks merch, like this beautiful Big Beef t-shirt I'm rocking there. You can go to nodunks.com for that. If you haven't already subscribed to The Athletic, go to theathletic.com/nodunks. I will tell you this as well. There will be a Top Shot Hot Boys coming at you later, probably tonight. So make sure you subscribe to No Dunks if you're into the Top Shot world. We'll be ripping a pack. I say pack, not packs, of throwdowns. TK, you came up empty-handed there yesterday.
I've had pretty good luck lately. Not yesterday, but my man Skeetsy brought one home.
Hey,
good
as long as one of us get one, we can have some fun with the Top Shot Hot Boys there. So that's tonight, Tuesday night. Like I said, beach tomorrow. And you can lock it in. We didn't do it last week, but you can lock it in for this Thursday night. Happy Hour is back. So we'll be going live, you know, around 8:30-ish p.m. Eastern time for a fun hang. We actually got something fun in store and would really love for all of you to join us on Thursday night. So, yeah, Happy Hour for sure is back as we wrap up the final week of the regular season here. I can't believe it. My goodness. And then we get into the play-in tournament, and then we get into the playoffs. So thank you so much for joining us today. We will see you guys tomorrow. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, the cardinal is apparently the state bird of Illinois. So I guess we're all homers when it comes to birds.
Embrace your birdseed, people.